Hello, Lagos. Welcome to Digital Life. I'm Yvonne Okhaifo. You're listening to 99.3 Nigeria Info. Sorry about that long break. I had to rush off to fix a few things, and now I am back. Whew, Lagos, as promised earlier on the Sunday morning show, I told you we would discuss the Nigeria Startup Act 2022 on this segment of the show. Emmanuel is away. He's not joining me live today, but he's joining via Zoom. He's joining the conversation via Zoom this morning. Emmanuel, can you hear me?
Sure, I can hear you. And good morning, Lee.
Emmanuel, you've gone off. You've just gone off. We can't hear you anymore. Anyway, while Emmanuel fixes his connection, Lagos, welcome to another episode of Digital Life. Digital Life is a show dedicated to helping you understand what's happening in the world of technology and how it directly affects you. On the show today, we are talking about the newly signed startup bill and how it directly affects you, its implications, and every other important detail. So stay here. As you know, the federal government recently signed the startup bill into law, making it the Nigeria Startup Act 2022. Now, the objective of the act is to create a conducive environment for startups in Nigeria. And here are some of the provisions of that act. One, the setting up of a National Council for Digital Innovation and Entrepreneurship. Two, the creation of a labeling process so that firms can be correctly identified as startups and benefit from the act. Three, a startup investment seed fund that will be accessible only to startups. Four, tax relief for startups. And five, provisions for accelerator and incubator programs. Joining us via Zoom to discuss this in more detail is the Senior Special Assistant to the President on Digital Transformation and someone who championed the passage of the bill. His name is Osaretin Gobadia. Mr. Gobadia, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much.
And nice I must apologize for keeping you waiting. I'm the only one in the studio, so it gets a bit, you know, complicated sometimes. Let's look at the implications of the provisions in the startup bill I just mentioned. Can you break them down in layman's terms?
So the bill is, like you already said, is primarily to create this enabling environment. And when we talk about enabling environment, is about making it easier for you to do your business. I was recently at a conference where somebody referred to startups as VIP SMEs. Hmm. Right. So ultimately, you know, these businesses are just SMEs. But intentionally, the government has taken the approach in partnership with the practitioners and the value creators and the startups themselves to create a legislature that would help this ecosystem thrive. So there are a number of things in the bill that range from, you know, tax incentives to linkages to the government to a framework to increase collaboration with the government. And all these things are done to, as you rightly said in the beginning, to create that enabling environment for this ecosystem.
Great. One question I've had on my mind since going through that bill, through the act, is does this startup act only cater to tech startups, or it caters to other kinds of startups as well?
So it caters to tech enabled companies, right? So it does not cater to any company that is not tech enabled. So it's very, very specific and it's very, very intentional. As we all know, tech companies and the digital economy is one of the fastest growing sectors globally. It's one of the fastest growing sectors in Nigeria as well and in Africa. So the intention here was to aid this sector. It does not mean that other processes like this cannot be created for those other sectors. So it's not a case of, you know, because this has happened means other people are being deprived of the same kind of treatment. It's more so that, you know, they need to, you know, those sectors need to gather together and pursue the same kind of process for their own sector. So this is very intentional for the tech-enabled sector.
But doesn't this come off as, you know, medicine after death? especially seeing as a lot of startups have already suffered harsh clampdowns, you know, from the government. A case in point is the ban on crypto trading. Another is the ban on mobility startups like Allride and Gokada in Lagos. Now, how does this act, this newly signed bill, remedy the damages already done?
No, I wouldn't say it's medicine after death, because that would assume that it was a mature environment. Would you say this was the mature would be? Is the sector at the peak of its height? No, it's very much in its infancy. So we're very much in the early stages. Just the same way technology is formed, you know, certain things have to happen for you to learn the true nature of what needs to be done to make it grow. Right. So unfortunately, some of those situations you're describing just gave a foundation to help establish this particular act. As I recently said in an event that I recently attended, I said that every single provision in this act was put forth by founders themselves based on their experiences. Right. So if you haven't experienced it, we wouldn't have the idea of what really needs to go into this act. So that's just part of the blessing of the entire process, right? So this process has also taught us something else, right? The fact that it's not just a federal act that would help enable the tech-enabled ecosystem, but also state adoption. And that's one of the reasons why the next phase of this is to push state adoption. If you look at the two or three examples you just gave a few minutes ago, part of those problems were federal level, and the other part of it was at the state level. So it's critical for other states to adopt the Nigerian Startup Act as well.
Okay. So does that then mean that we should, you know, be expectant that the ban on crypto trading may, you know, be lifted anytime soon?
No, that assumes that that's not the particular intent, right? So we're not here to make a sensational announcement particularly. What the bill does is it creates the framework for both sides to understand, you know, what they're indeed doing, right? So there's a reason why crypto was banned, and there's a reason why crypto is required. What the bill does is create the framework for both sides to have that conversation. You know, what we have is disruptors, and that's a fantastic position to be in, because you're creating value and you're trying to change the world. But policymakers, sometimes all they see is displacement. And the lacking in understanding of what disruption and what the value creation of disruption is only creates a situation where a policymaker may have to manage what that policymaker sees in the market. So the framework in the bill, I mean, if you get the bill and you look at the powers, I mean, the bill, the official Gazette bill is out now, so please look at that one and not any other version that you've seen floating around prior.
Okay.
But if you look at the powers, given to the council, you will see that policies and regulations developed by agencies within government must go through this council. And this council is constituted of both policymakers and policymakers at the very highest level, by the way,
right,
and private sector people, right? So there's this opportunity to engage, right? So I tell people that the bill, when you read the bill, read it from these, you know, this is my sort of take of the bill. You look at it from a collaboration, look at it from engagement, look at it from incentives, right? Look at it from linkages, and then also look at it from support. So collaboration in the sense that the bill intends to ensure that the ecosystem always collaborates on how things are done, right? On the directions of the future of the ecosystem. Engagement, continued participation and engagement of all parties within the ecosystem. We've come to understand the ecosystem to be both policymakers and the startups themselves, not just the startups themselves, but policymakers and startups and the startups that make up this ecosystem. It cannot be successful if these two people are not partnered together. So engagement is critical, right? So the examples you just gave a few minutes ago were symptoms of an unhealthy ecosystem. What the Act intends to do is to put a framework in place to ensure that we have a healthy ecosystem. And then we also have incentives. There are incentives in the bill to help, like tax incentives and incentives to encourage investment of foreign investors and Nigerian investors, local investors, angel investors in startups within Nigeria. And there's also linkages. Linkages is how you connect startups to critical agencies and critical parts of Nigeria. So for instance, how do startups connect to universities? How do startups connect to research? How do startups connect to the patent development and all of that? So there's no incentives to grow research. And the last part is support. Support the supporters, support the startups, support hubs, and support any initiative that really is meant to help the ecosystem.
Right. Let's talk about the process of obtaining this label startup label certificate. Let's talk about that a bit. And I'm talking about the process that will entail. Also, there is no specific sum that would be required to obtain a startup label certificate yet. Why is that?
When you say sum, what
I'm talking about amount. Like, how much would it cost to obtain this label certificate for a startup?
Oh, there is no amount. There is no amount. You do not pay to become what you are, right? The Act does not intend to charge people to be labeled as startups within Nigeria. It only requests that you are a company that intends to create value through digital economy, through digital technology.
So if I understand what you're saying correctly, you're saying that, you know, you don't really have to pay to obtain a label certificate to be qualified as a startup.
Is that what you're saying?
Okay, as opposed to, paying to obtain your CAC. I've heard that some businesses have had to, pay to obtain that a certificate. Okay, let's look at this provision in the Startup Act.
If I can come in here, I would like to ask, if they're not getting, they're not paying to get the certificate, it's a competitive, the tech industry, tech sector, tech ecosystem is a very competitive ecosystem, and a lot of people are coming up with companies with similar ideas with just little differences between them. So how do we ensure that one company is not influencing to ensure that another doesn't, get that required license, to operate here in Nigeria, that could just cripple that the other company?
Okay, so I believe I understand where this question is coming from, and it's quite interesting indeed. So let me do this. The Nigerian Startup Act does not duplicate or usurp any existing institutions or agencies. Nigeria Startup Act does not create any new agencies or institutions. It relies on existing agencies and existing institutions, right? Rather, what the Nigeria Startup Act does is it drives through a structural process the collaboration between the required agencies and the startups. So that would mean that we're basically making, you're basically bringing the roof lower in the sense that you have a council that the president and the vice president sit on, and a number of key ministers and private sector people sit on. And then ultimately you are bringing through a portal all the key agencies that will more than likely report to a few of the ministers that are already on the council, a lot of the key agencies that, that you would have to interact with to do your day-to-day business. So we're talking about CAC, we're talking about patents, we're talking about trademarks, and other agencies that you, NUC and so forth and so on. Now, the idea of labeling, in the bill, there's a criteria for being labeled in as a startup. I would also mention that, this is one of the things people don't really get. A lot of the benefits of the bill can also be attained just by the fact that the bill will improve the general environment. So if you're a company that is over 10 years old, you cannot be labeled in because the bill applies to companies that are younger than 10 years old. And there's some specific benefits to companies that are labeled in. Some things in the bill actually say, to label startups, right? So if you think of things like credit schemes, if you think about certain activities that happen in agencies like Bank of Industry, there's loans for companies. You look at CBN, there's certain grants or loans that are happening. You look at a number of other places where, a number of agencies where things are happening, but you just don't know about it. What would happen is that the secretariat of the Nigerian Startup Act is empowered to pull these activities into a portal, right? And in this portal, labeled, right, people who fit the criteria of labeled startups will have access to this portal. And in this portal, you'll be able to access all these benefits and activities that happen in multiple agencies. So to speak directly to your question, this is not, the bill does not intend to police any police will regulate any particular activity that startups do. I mean, if a company is starting up an idea, another company is starting up an idea, you know, ideas are in the air. Having been an entrepreneur myself for multiple years in Nigeria, there's a case of the agencies that deal with that. If you have a patent or a trademark on an idea or a process, because that's what you really, really are trademarking and patenting, that, you know, that will be dealt with through that agency that deals with such, right? But ultimately, you know, the idea is that if you meet the criteria for a labeled startup, then you'll be labeled as a startup within the bill and derive the benefits that the act provides for you as a labeled startup.
Mr. Gobadia, it's interesting that you mentioned that requirement, you know, that for a company to be labeled a startup, it must not be older than 10 years. And I find that interesting because in addition to that, for such a startup to benefit from the Startup Act, it has to have a co-founder, a Nigerian co-founder of that startup, you know, provided that that Nigerian founder or co-founder shares from profits or revenues from the sale of shares. Now I have a question. Doesn't this itself pose a counterproductive risk as it excludes companies that have existed for 10 years or a little over a decade and have non-Nigerian founders but are also, you know, capable of, you know, benefiting the Nigerian market, the Nigerian audience greatly? I mean, doesn't it somehow exclude these other companies that are maybe a bit over 10 years but have so much to offer the Nigerian market by way of employment and other opportunities?
So in your question, is the assumption that the company that is here for a particular service, let's say, for instance, your example, non-Nigerian, right? You know, is not already here for and already doing their business. So you have to remember that this is really to cause growth, right? It's for the companies that are new. So the definition of startups really speaks to, you know, young and really like the word starting up, right? And I think, you know, the ownership of the digital economy taking up startup is just sort of a global use of the word. People could argue that a number of different businesses are startups. We're saying that, you know, globally, if you say startup, people tend to think technology. And we believe by 10 years, I mean, it's quite advanced, in fact. We stretched it to 10 years because, you know, I think the entrepreneurs in the conversation felt that in Nigeria, it does take a long time for you to actually get established. So we marked it at 10. I think globally, you find people will say some benefits really apply to you. The kind of benefits we have in the bill apply to you at year 3. I think across Africa, what we saw was, I think Tunisia is 8 years. After 8 years, you're no longer a startup. So these things weren't really picked, you know, out of the cloud. They were based on research and based on understanding of the environment, that if a company is now 10 years old, are you really still just starting up? Or are you pivoting to something else? Maybe you should do a name change and become a new company. I don't know. But, you know, there's certain points where the benefits are no longer for the exact intention, right? So we're looking at the youths and we're looking at growth of Nigerian companies. It's very specific, very intentional, right? There's no need to be shy about it. It is about Nigerian youth and the growth of Nigerian youth businesses. So if you look at one of the mantras / vision statement I've been saying of recent is that, you know, the very next business or the very next startup that impacts the world, the entire globe, starts in an African village. Right. When you say such a thing, it means that you must now look at all the intentional steps that you must take to achieve that. Right. You're talking about the African village. We must look at education. We must look at infrastructure and we must look at policy. So if our policy is not intentional, then what are we talking about? It's very intentional.
Let's talk about the value of this seed funding that startups are entitled to under this act. How much funding are we looking at? Because I hear it actually costs a lot of money. You know, to start a business. So how much funding, especially for tech startups, how much funding?
So it's not, the amount is not driven by how much funding that the startup needs. The funding that a startup needs is actually dictated by that startup business plan. What we intended to do there was One, provide local funding, government-driven local funding. We believe that this initiative will actually lead to creating funds of funds based on the on this initial position. What the bill says is that the fund will be will have about 10 billion naira put into it annually, and it will be managed by the NSIA. We've already had conversations with a number of third-party organizations that are willing to increase that amount and participate in that program because they believe in the Nigerian vision and the Nigerian dream and the potential of Nigerian startups. So ultimately, you know, there are companies that are raising $1 million, $2 million, and to do such, they change where they're located, they change locations, they're based somewhere else now. And we believe that we can be able to fund such companies and you know keep the equity you know within Nigeria for a longer period of time.
Fantastic.
So it depends on the business plan of the company.
Fantastic.
The company may need $100,000.
It's interesting we're talking about this seed funding because one problem with the Nigerian ecosystem is lack of accountability, you know, especially when it comes to finances and corruption. And I'd like to ask, though, so who's going to be in charge of ensuring that these monies are not siphoned for whatever reason, for God knows what? Who's to say that some of these companies are not going to, some of these highly placed people are not going to, you know, look for very, you know, dubious means to siphon these seed funds that would ordinarily, you know, benefit the real startups, the people that need these monies?
So I would say, are you familiar with the NSIA? So the funds are being managed by the Sovereign Wealth Fund. The NSIA, and they have been managing, you know, Nigeria resources for a number of years. So
they've been managing Nigeria resources for a number of years.
I think you must address that question to some study on the NSIA. I don't think we can't on air challenge their credibility without facts.
No, right. I'm not challenging. I am not challenging their credibility. I'm only asking that this is a new development, and we're talking about funding that would
that's
help.
That's why I said. It's almost like if I mentioned the NSIA, you should understand that where the question is becomes irrelevant, right? So the funds are being managed by an organization that, you know, their reputation is well established, right? And they were chosen for that particular reason. They were chosen because that's what they already do, right? So they've been doing this for a long time. They create funds of funds. There are funds within Nigeria that venture capital funds that are funded by the NSIA. So it speaks to sort of understanding of what the environment is doing right now. So there are startup venture capital funds that are ran by Nigerians, right, as a commercial basis. So it's a very private sector type thing. And the funds that are put into those funds, a percentage of it came from the NSIA. So it's already happening, right? So that's why I'm trying to stop the question, the direction it's going, because it doesn't really pertain. This money is not sitting within the realm of conversation that this question sort of fits with. So I'm not in the position to really speak to that. I'm just saying that we picked an organization with a reputation of doing exactly on an international standard with international credibility, and we believe that they would deliver on that.
Okay. We'll drop that question. Let's move on and talk about the National Council for Digital Innovations and Entrepreneurship. Let's talk about the responsibilities of this council. So what exactly will the National Council for Digital Innovation and Entrepreneurship be responsible for under this act?
So the National Council, I think earlier on when I described collaboration, right, the National Council is basically made up of 8 critical government people and 6 private sector people. The council will be managing it's going to be a place where directives and will be made. So basically, just if you want to picture an issue being discussed at council and direction given to government how to execute on it. And as I think I mentioned earlier, that even things as like policies and regulations and general direction of what an agency wants to execute on, a position they are taking will need to go through the council. If you have the bill, you can see where their powers lie. But generally, it's a forum that would conduct and drive, you know, how things are done in the ecosystem.
Lagos, we are discussing the Nigerian Startup Act. It was just recently signed. You know, it used to be the Nigerian Startup Bill, but it's now the Nigerian Startup Act. We recently signed, accented too by the president, President Muhammadu Buhari. And I have with me in the via Zoom, somewhat in the studio, Osaretin Gobadia. He is a senior special assistant to the president hold on a second. Let me find that so that I do not get it wrong.
Digital transformation.
Thank you. Digital transformation. Right. He's a senior. And by the way, he also championed, you know, he also fought to the teeth to see that this bill became a law. So kudos to you, Gobadia, for doing that. If you'd like to be a part of the conversation, call us on 0700-993-993-993. Call us on 0700-993-993-993. You can also call on 01465-7190. Do you have a question? Do you have a contribution? Do you have a gray areas you'd like to be, you know, just that kind of thing, okay? This is Digital Life. And what we do on this show is to make sure that you are, you know, abreast, you are kept abreast of what is happening in the world of technology and how those happenings directly affect you. So call us on 0700-993-993-993 or call on 01465-7190. You can leave us a message on WhatsApp 080-959-75805. Mr. Gobadia, let's talk a bit about the challenges you encountered, you know, getting this bill to be assented to. I'd love to really get a glimpse of how it all played out. Do you mind sharing?
So I would say that you know, one of the key things that we all need to appreciate is the volunteers that gave up their time to, you know, to work on this. I mean, you know, the way that the bill, the process was set up, which we call the Big Tent approach, is that we ultimately pulled together all the people, a lot of people in the private sector who had, you know, who had conversations about doing something within government to help this particular ecosystem. We pulled together members within the government that would be affected by any such legislature. And we had very early conversations, you know, to ensure that, you know, what goes into such a document will make sense for all parties. And that's one of the key parts why, you know, the process was so much successful, because, you know, the engagement was done very early and everybody had a sense of ownership of the ultimate outcome. We went far and wide with engaging, you know, different subsectors of the tech ecosystem to ensure that, you know, general input and information was provided. But behind all of these engagements, I mean, there were several engagements, you know, town hall meetings, geopolitical town hall meetings, rallies, engaging in National Assembly, holding all sorts of events. Behind all this were very, very devoted volunteers that gave up their time doing weekly newsletters, doing, you know, doing articles, getting things in the press and doing awareness events. So I think, you know, it was all pulled together by these people, and we should really be thanking them for their effort to getting this done.
One question I'd like to ask, it may come off as silly, but it's really quite an important question, especially as this show is, you know, tailored to everyday people. Now, the question is, how exactly does this startup bill, right, directly benefit young people in Nigeria? Directly, I'd like for you to break it down to the nitty-gritty such that the person listening in his sitting room, the person who is probably in school, understands what you're saying, understands this Startup Act.
Okay, so what I would say mm-hmm. is that it gives us a voice.
Okay.
Right? It gives this ecosystem a voice. You know, earlier I was talking about linkages, right? It plants seeds in a number of areas that creates that. I mean, that word enabling, I've said it too much in the beginning to maybe lose meaning to me, mm-hmm. but it actually does create that enabling environment. It's almost like somebody's putting their hands into the soil and praying that soil, you know, germinates good fruit. because that's exactly what it does, right? So if you think about this, provisions in the bill that speak to interaction with MUC, so now start thinking about creating programs and computer science programs within universities. So mm-hmm. if you, let's say, for instance, you are a young person and you're in university, you know, this bill, when fully implemented and, you know, managed properly through time, you know, would increase the number of, you know, training that you're getting, right? So that's just you getting training. And then you now think about, you want to start a company. You register this company and you want to get a patent. Where do you go, right? You are in Abeokutamos, you go to Lagos, you go to Abuja. Ultimately, you know, it brings all these resources, right? So there's going to be a portal that you can log into where you can actually touch and get services from government, right, to help with what you're trying to achieve. You're trying to register a patent, you're trying to register a trademark, you're trying to make changes to your CAC. You know, these are all the activities that, you know, that you have to do as a business is all sitting there waiting for you. Then you now start thinking about, you're looking for grants. Hmm. It's sitting there waiting for you on the portal. You're looking for investors. I mean, very early on in the bill, like, I can't begin to name the number of international investors that while in Nigeria came to see us to have a conversation about the bill because they saw it as almost like a pre-DD, right? So if you're labeling as a startup, to them, that's step one, almost done. And they want to engage you from there. So if somebody says, I'm looking for 10 agri-tech companies, 20 health tech companies, they're right there on the portal, right? So you almost need to picture the portal as a market and engagement tool that will lead you to a number of things, right? So you're sitting in somewhere in Ogun State, and yeah, I just said Ogun State twice, like I said that last time, mm-hmm. or you're sitting in Edo State mm-hmm. or Zamfara, you know, from this portal, you are able to access a number of resources that helps your business. And, you know, the linkages that are being built out of this act, right? If you look at, I mean, I don't know if you have the bill with you. If you just look at, like, the most of the provisions in the, from, like, I think, like, from 30 on down, you start seeing things like, you know, tax-free zones, hubs, helping hubs, a number of things that would help you be able to build your business. For instance, one of the things that I almost never mention, there's a provision in here that actually says that government needs to look at Nigerian or labeled Nigerian tech-enabled businesses when it comes to procurement, right? It's in there. So it really touches, I mean, like I said, every single provision in here was put in this bill by actual founders themselves, that these are the pain points. So if you're a young startup, you're a youth, you're about to start a company, here's a document that actually captures, you know, the pain points from people who have gone ahead of you and have already felt that. You know, I myself, I wasn't born into government. I've been working I've run a business in Nigeria for close to 17, 18 years. So, you know, I know some of these pain points myself. So it's really meant to address that. And the problem is something that I find is there's so many things that the bill touches that you just can't start rattling them off. But it really does look at the entire fabric. And also the idea of state adoption is what really cements it, right? So if we start having states looking at the bill and creating a local version of this bill in their states, you now have this fabric of innovation, you know, going across the entire country.
Lagos, be a part of this conversation. I've seen your calls coming in, but I just needed to ask Mr. Gobadia some of those questions there. 0700-993-993-993. You can also call on 01465-7190. Or leave a message on WhatsApp, 080-959-75805. Hello. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, welcome to Digital Life. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Ibrahim. I'm calling from Igodo.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I have this genuine concern about government programs generally, because they usually just introduce these age restrictions. Okay, this program is for youth, 18, 30 or 18 to 35. And from what I have seen, from my experience, I see that the real age group that government should, you know, pay more attention to are not the 18, 20-something. It should be 30, 40-something. Okay, the 30, 40-something bracket is what, that bracket is what, that bracket will empower the younger ones. Because most of the time, they are filled with experienced business executives who are now going into entrepreneurship, or they've been entrepreneurs all their lives. They are just looking for funding. You know, they've gone through a lot. They've gathered a lot of experience. But the 18, 20-something, age bracket, are still restless. Some of them have not actually made up their mind on what they want to do.
Ibrahim, and what's your question?
Yes, it's a concern I have. I hope that the 30-something, 40-something bracket will not be cut off. That is my concern. Because most of the programs that I've seen, I'm 40-something now. I'm in my early 40s. You know, when I just look at the criteria, I see that I'm not eligible. So that is my concern, yes.
Mr. Gobadje, do you care to comment on that? You heard what he said. Did you hear what Ibrahim said?
I think that's an interesting point. Uh-huh. I think it probably should be studied to see how many programs do target 18 to 20-something and leaving nothing for the other age groups. And then maybe make an adjustment from that. But the Nigerian Startup Act does no such thing.
Exactly. Right? I was about to ask about that.
Yeah, but I just wanted to validate his point that, you know, that is worth looking at. But that aside, the Nigerian Startup Act does no such thing. Nigerian Startup Act, you can be 58 and do a startup and you're welcome.
0700-993-993-993. Be a part of this interesting conversation. Ask your questions. I have the senior special assistant to the president on. I keep forgetting. Oh my goodness, senior special assistant on digital transformation. Goodness, Lagos, I'm hungry, I need food. But anyway, Osaretin Gwobadia is not just the senior special assistant to the president on digital transformation. He's also one of the champions of this Startup Act 2022. Okay, he's one of the reasons this bill is now a law and it's going to benefit a lot of Nigerians, a lot of young Nigerians. And I shouldn't use the word young so that those who are 45 and 50 don't think I'm being ageist, okay?
They are coming for you.
No, they wasn't come for me. That's not the plan, please. But it will benefit all of us in Nigeria. So if you have a question, ask. Call on 0700-993-993-993 or 01465-7190. Before I take the next call, this message here is from Lanre from Ilorin, Kwara State. I love the fact that the act clearly states that a Nigerian must be a co-founder. You need to see a lot of these companies in India. They are not wholly owned by foreigners. Citizens of the country must compulsorily be inculcated to building such a company. Okay. Larry is a big fan of the fact that one of the requirements is for such a startup to have a Nigerian co-founder. I do find it laudable as well. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Fantastic. Yes. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yes.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you, but your voice doesn't sound very clear. Could you speak louder, please?
Okay. I'll try to speak louder. Okay, my question for you, I have to speak a question for your guest.
Okay.
You mentioned the Sovereign Wealth Fund and NSIA. I understand it's a...
My goodness, can you call us back? It's a bit difficult to hear you. Can you call us back? Or can you move away from... There seems to be some sort of distortion.
How about now?
Okay, this is much better. This could work.
Okay, what's NSIA? You keep on mentioning NSIA. What's NSIA? Then my second question is, in this startup bill, what's in it for the government? I mean, it is a 100% altruistic bill to help, you know, to help young people or to help startups. I mean, in terms of the tax implications, I mean, what's in it for them? Or is it just 100% an altruistic deal?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. The NSIA stands for the Nigeria Sovereign Investment Authority, but I'm sure Mr. Gobadia has more to say to that. So he has two questions.
Did you hear him? The second question.
Oh, you heard the second question.
The first question you already answered. I mean, is an organization, so she just researched that. The second question is, you have to understand what government's role is. Government is meant to put down the train tracks in which you run your business on. So this is what this act is doing, right? It's putting train tracks down for you to run your trains on, for you to build your trains and run your ideas to create value, right? So ultimately, government benefits from economic activity, right? So if you look at the recent statistics on the economy, tech-enabled was about 18%, which we even believe is low, because I don't think it even includes tech services to the right extent and even captures all the tech activity that is happening that we don't even know about, especially those that happen from people's homes into the abroad, as we say. So the impact of the tech ecosystem on Nigeria is immense. And it's only right, if you're trying to grow a country, which is the government's responsibility, that you support the sectors that are growing your economy. So that's what this is.
Fantastic. This message here says, hold on a second. I'm trying to get the head of this message and make out the tail as well. Okay, so this message, I believe, is asking if the bill is only meant to benefit people in the digital market alone. I'm sure Mr. Gobale already answered that question. But for the benefit of this gentleman who probably didn't hear that, Mr. Gobale.
It's tech-enabled. So this bill is intentionally meant to support tech-enabled businesses.
0700-993-993-993. Keep your messages coming on 0700-993-993-993. I mean, your message is coming on 080. You can call on 0700-993-993-993. Or call on 01465-7190. You can leave us a message on WhatsApp, 080-959-75805. It's interesting that you mentioned that there are provisions for, you know, education in the Startup Act, which I'm going to go back and study thoroughly. But let's talk about some of the practices that could, you know, spur young Nigerians towards becoming more tech inclined, you know, especially in this digital age, and especially looking at how, you know, how the country is currently dealing with some economic hardships, like food crisis, like, of course, poverty remains an issue, especially electricity. Mr. Gobadia,
I'm not sure I understand the question. Can you clarify?
I'm asking that what provisions are there? You mentioned education, but what other provisions are there for to spur young people towards, you know, being digitally inclined, especially in this economy where everybody's just trying to survive? You know, there's hunger in the land, electricity is still a problem, you know. Provisions are in the act to help young aspiring Nigerians?
So, you know, I think when there are myriad of issues, it's very easy to conflict things together, right? So, and even that is done in earnestness. It's actually true, right? So nothing you said is wrong, but also in problem solving, you can't solve everything at one go. One thing is part of the entire process, right? So in the bill, you know, there are provisions to make businesses. So if you think about anything by the definition of what the bill is doing, it's not really going to make, you know, like your housing in your university better or make power better, but it's really addressing people who are starting a company. So that's sort of the realm of impact, right? So it's not going to really, of course, if you have 10 businesses doing very well today, and because of the bill, you now have 300 businesses doing well. So I give you an example. We're looking at the Tunisia numbers. I actually just sat with them on a panel recently. And they've moved from 30 to 40 to 800. The numbers have moved from 5 to 10 to 20 to $40 million in impact. When you do something that creates that kind of impact in the economy, it's a trickle-down effect, right? You're now a young man, your business is doing well. What do you now do with your money, right? You now pay for school fees, buy better uniforms, you know, and so on and so on. So it's about stimulation. It's about catalytic, right? So I find it hard really, you know, trying to use, you know, this to solve a broad stroke. I can only say that, you know, this will solve the problem which intends to solve. And with the right partnerships from everybody, we'll be able to extend this to ensure and guarantee that, you know, we all need to understand what the Act is saying and participate in the process and demand that the Act is implemented to its fullest. And then And only from there do we start seeing the benefits. And the benefits will trickle down, right? Because this is actually catalytic, right? So many things you mentioned, you know, I think the socioeconomic issues will be solved from increasing our business base, right? So, you know, people say, oh, you know, Nigeria has three unicorns. I'm saying, what are you talking about? Nigeria should have 30 unicorns because we have over 200 million people, right? So we're nowhere near where we should be. We're very much in our infancy, right? We're starting. Right, no pun intended.
Right,
but when you are at this position and you drive the right policies in place, you start to put the right infrastructure in place. It can only be catalytic to growth, and that growth is experienced by everybody.
I have a message here that says, I attended a technical school in Ikorodu, Lagos State, but what we learned back then in school wouldn't make me eligible for this offer. My name is Abdul Rashid from Ketu. We need to upgrade our technical colleges for this bill to be useful. Mr. Gobadia, care to comment on that?
I mean, there's several things I can say, and that would be more than one-on-one sort of mentorship, right? Mm-hmm. So he learned something a long time ago, and he's saying that what he learned is no longer, I guess, current. That speaks to self-improvement. So that's one issue. And then the other issue is about further development of our training program. I think I've already said that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this act does speak to engaging our higher institutions and encouraging and driving programs to increase the quality of resources that they produce, right? Because if you're trying to grow, an ecosystem, you must be able to feed that ecosystem with trained and skilled labor. So that's a critical part, right? So that's sort of embedded into the act, as in this is critical. You cannot build this ecosystem, you cannot truly support this ecosystem if you do not enable and improve on the inputs. One of the inputs is human resources, right? The key inputs.
So this is fairly new, and of course, like with every other bill, there's need to, you know, for mass, education, such that people, a lot of young Nigerians are made aware of this, are made aware that something like this exists. What are plans for that? Are there plans to, you know, drive this education, make sure that everybody is aware that, oh, there's a new startup act, or these are the provisions, so this is what you can do, this is what you can do?
I believe that's what we're doing right now. I'm actually on your radio show on a Sunday morning.
Well, it is, but this is just one. Yeah. Are there other, you know?
Well, there's several. I mean, this is the reason, I hate it when I'm being short with you, I'm trying not to. It's just that I think sometimes in our country, we ignore what's happening, and then we are wondering if it's happening. So if anybody just goes ahead and Googles the Nigerian Startup Bill and the process and the path in which it happened, you will see that the awareness was one of the biggest things we did. There's even cartoons. We have animation. We have animation out there, right? We have newsletters released every week by fellow Nigerians who were not paid. Right? So that awareness will continue. So I think what we have right now is that the act has just passed. You know, people are just trying to take a breath. Like I said, these are volunteers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just take a breath, and then they'll kick it off again and start doing all the activities we've always done.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I get the feeling sometimes that we're not aware that things happen, and it doesn't necessarily make it a valid question. I don't know if you understand what I mean, right?
Mr. Gobadia, I understand what you mean, but...
There's several ways.
I understand.
But the answer is yes.
I understand what you mean, but you know, a lot of people will always say that they are not aware, because again, we have a population of more than 200 million people, you know. And that is why, again, I asked that question. Yes, this is what is happening. But again, there cannot be too much awareness. There cannot be enough awareness.
Oh, never. Because always more.
Exactly. That's why I asked that question.
100%.
Okay.
I mean, the answer is 100%. But I wanted to tie back to the fact that a lot exists.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I need to say that. Please Google Nigerian Startup Act, Nigerian Startup Bill. Check on YouTube. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of content there. Check on Instagram, there's a lot of content there. Mm-hmm. Check on LinkedIn, there's a lot of content there. Twitter, I mean, check in every place that you go to, wherever you find home on the digital world. Go check there. That's why I said, to the point that we made animations. There was animations explaining the bill, and there will be more, right? But I think a lot of people who are asking questions or just learning about the process, you never saw any of this, right? So that's why I needed to say that. So thank you for the question.
Right. This message here, this one message says, I'm 25 now. This startup organization came to offer 250,000 naira then, but we knew that if we took the offer, we'd run into debt, and our teachers then advised us not to take the loans. Okay. I don't know what I should say to that. Maybe sorry or good luck you didn't take the loan. I don't know. But I hope that things work out for you, though. Mr. Gobadia, thank you very much for your time. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning, discussing the Nigerian Startup Act. Lagos, that's the show today. That's the show today, Lagos. We have to go. Call it today. I've been here since 8 o'clock and it is time to go and get that much needed food that I need and rest, okay? So stay tuned to 99.3 Nigeria Info. Follow me on social media, Yvonne Okhaifo, everyone's social media, YVONNEOKHAIFOH. Find me, follow me, and of course, drop your suggestions for the shows. Until I come your way again next Sunday, and hopefully with Emmanuel Onwuka when he returns from wherever it is that he went, stay blessed and stay safe.
It's 12 o'clock.